Welcome to another episode of Patel Podcast. Today we'll be talking about the book Cinder by New York's best-selling author Marissa Mayer. Humans and androids crowd the streets of New Belgium. A deadly plague ravages the population. From space, ruthless lunar people watch, waiting to make their next move. No one knows that Earth's fate hinges on one girl, Cinder, a gifted mechanic who is a cyborg. She's a second-class citizen with a mysterious past revealed by her stepmother and blamed for her stepsister's illnesses. But when her life becomes intertwined with the handsome Prince Kai, she suddenly finds herself at the center of an intergalactic struggle and a forbidden attraction. Caught between duty, freedom, loyalty, and betrayal, she must uncover secrets about her past in order to protect her world's future. The genre of this book is science fiction, and it has won many awards, such as the Indie's Choice Book Award, Tayshar's Reading, Beehive Award, Charlotte's Award, and many more. Without further ado, let's introduce our guests, Lena and Eamon.
Hello there.
Hi.
Lena, the first question is for you. This book, Cinder, what is it about?
Cinder is a cyborg who is a mechanic and lives with her stepmom and stepsisters. When she is donated for plague research, she discovers a secret about herself that changes everything. It's a journey and lifetime decisions. She'll have to make in order to protect the future.
Okay, second question. Eamon, tell us about the science in the book.
Okay, the science in the book obviously takes place in the future. Lunars are people with powers who live on the moon. There's an element of ID chips where instead of physical ID, there's a chip planted in the wrist of each person. Also, there are ships that travel in the sky, like spaceships, such as other factors are also in the book.
Third question. Lena, what is there any genres besides science fiction in this book?
Yes, I do believe that there is an element of romance. There is romance between Prince Kai and Cinder, but also between a lot of other characters in other books in the series, such as Scarlet and Wolf, Winter and Jacket, and Cress and Thorn.
Okay, question four. What scene stuck to you the most?
The scene where Cinder goes to the quartrain with the antidote to give it to Piani when she dies. She gave it to another boy named Chang Suto. The words used and described were very powerful. I'll always remember the scene. She also found Piani asleep, tangled in a blue baby blanket.
Marissa Mayer was born on February 19, 1984 in Tacoma, Washington, United States. She was 27 when she released Cinder, and it was her first book of her first series, The Lunar Chronicles. The only books she has published besides The Lunar Chronicles are Renegades, Heartless, and Arch Enemies. She currently lives in Tacoma, Washington with her husband and twin daughters. We contacted Marissa Mayer to be part of this podcast to give her reviews or her opinions on this book and her writing process, but she is very busy writing books for us and her other fans, so we wish Marissa Mayer all the best for her new books. Lena, would you be brave enough to be in Cinder's position?
If I'm honest, no. The way she's emotionally put down as a person or cyborg by Adri and Pearl, I wouldn't be able to stand there or handle it. Also, the way she is exposed to her past, it would be too much for me.
Agreeable. I would be in the same position. Like, come on, can you really be that heartless? Adri, this is to you. Question six. Is there any character besides Cinder that stands out to you, Eamon?
Yes, of course, there are many. One in particular is Aiko, the android. She's always supportive of Cinder and never puts her down. I feel they both need each other.
Okay. Question seven. It's for Lena. What element do you think was unnecessary in the book?
To be honest, I don't think any part was unnecessary or unneeded. Everything adds up at the end, and then you realize each element is important.
Amen. Cinder's family is a different type of family. Explain her family.
Her stepdad, Garen, died due to the plague. Her stepmother, Adra, hates her, and Cinder never wanted her. Her stepsisters, Pearl and Peony. Pearl is the mean stepsister, and Peony is the really nice one.
Okay. I'm so sorry, said Cinder. I love her too. Adri squeezed the frame. Don't insult me, she said, sliding the frame closer to her. Do your kind even know what love is? Can you feel anything at all? Or is it just programmed? She was talking to herself, but the words stung. Cinder risked a glance at Pearl, who was sitting on the sofa with her face half hidden behind her knees. She was no longer holding a washcloth to her face. When she saw Cinder looking at her, she turned her gaze to the floor. Cinder flexed her fingers against the mag belt. Of course I know what love is, and sadness too. She wished she could cry to prove it. Good. Then you'll understand that I'm doing what a mother must do to protect my children. Adri turned the frame face down on the mantle. On the couch, Pearl turned her face away, pressing her cheek against her knees. A trenchful fear curled in Cinder's stomach. Adri? It has been 5 years since you became a part of this household, Cinder. 5 years since Garen left you to me. I still don't know what made him do it. Don't know why he felt obligated to travel Europe of all places and find some mutant to take care of. He never explained it to me. Perhaps he would have someday, but I never wanted you. You know that. Cinder pursed her lips. The blank face Madroid leered up at her. She did know it, but she didn't think Adria had ever put it so clearly. Garen wanted you to be taken care of, so I've done my best. Even when he died, even when the money ran out, even when everything fell apart, her voice cracked, and she pressed one palm firmly against her mouth. Cinder watched her shoulders tremble and listened to the short gasps of breath as she tried to stifle the sobs. But Garen would have agreed. Fionni comes first. Our girls come first. Cinder started at the raised voice. She could hear the justification in Adri's tone, the determination. Don't leave me with this thing! She shuddered. Adri, if it weren't for you, Garen would be still alive. And Fionni? No, it's not my fault. Cinder spotted a flash of white and saw Eco Lord in the hallway, uncertain. Her sensor had gone nearly black. Cinder searched for her voice, a pulse throbbing, the white spots flickering across her vision. A red warning flickered in the corner of her eye. Her recommendation that she calm down. I didn't ask to be made like this. I didn't ask for you or anybody to adopt me. This isn't my fault. It isn't my fault either. Adri lashed out, shoving the net screen off its brackets with one shove. It fell and crashed, taking two of her husband's achievement pikes down with it. Bits of plastic recorched across the worn carpet. Cinder jumped back, but the frenzy fled as fast as it had come. Adri's ragged breath was already slowing. She was always so careful not to disturb the neighbors, not to be noticed, not to cause a commotion, not to do anything that would ruin their reputation, even now. Cinder, Adri said, shuffling her fingers with the washcloth, as if she could erase her lost temper. You'll be going with his Medroids. Don't make a scene. The floor shifted. What? Why? Because we all have a duty to do what we can, and you know what a high demand there is for your type. Especially now. She paused. Her face had gotten pink and mottled. We can still help Fionni. They just need cyborgs to find a cure. You volunteered me for plague research? Her mouth could barely form the words. What else was I supposed to do? Cinder's jaw hung. She shook her head dumbly as all three yellow sensors focused on her. But nobody survives the testing. How could you? Nobody survives the plague. If you care for Fionni as much as you claim, you'll do as I say. If you hadn't been so selfish, you would have volunteered yourself after you left the market today before coming here and ruining my family again. But take her away. She's yours. Cinder was too stunned to move as the nearest android held a scanner up to her wrist and beeped as she flinched back. Lee Cinder," it said in its metallic voice, "your voluntary sacrifice is admired and appreciated by all citizens of the Eastern Commonwealth. A payment will be made to your loved ones to show gratitude of your contribution to our ongoing studies." The grip tightened on the mag belt. "No. That's what it is, really. That's what this is really about, isn't it? You don't care about Fionni. You don't care about me. You just want your stupid payout." Adri's eyes widened, her temples pulling taut against her skull. She crossed the room in two steps, at the back of her hand whipping across Cinder's face. Cinder fell against the doorframe and pressed her hand to her cheek. "Take her," said Adri. "Get her out of my sight." "I didn't volunteer. You can't take me against my will." The android was unturbed. "We have been authorized by our legal guardian to take you into custody through the use of force if necessary." Cinder curled her fingers, balling a fist against her ear. "You can't force me to be a test subject." "Yes," said Adri. Her own breathing labored. "I can, so long as you're under my guardianship." "You don't think this will really save Fionni, so don't pretend this is about her. She has days. The chances of finding them a cure before..." "Then the only mistake was in waiting too long to be rid of you," said Adri, running the washcloth between her fingers. "Believe me, Cinder, your sacrifice I will never regret." Eamon, if you could only choose one, would you rather have androids exist or have a colony on the moon?
Androids. I feel like the colony might end up like Lavanna. Also, only be useful to scientists or rich people for locations. Androids can be useful to everyone and can do much more and be useful to languages.
Which character do you most identify with in Cinder and why?
Probably Fionni. She's supportive and giggly. She accepts everyone and has a mad crush on Prince Kai. I would be just like her.
Eamon, Cinder has many unique abilities. Which cyborg ability would you want?
I would really want the ability to detect lies. Imagine how cool that would be. You can tell if someone's being honest or not. It would help the police catch criminals and the judges in court.
Lena, can you see any links between Cinder and Cinderella?
Yes, of course. This book is based off the classic fairy tale. One thing is when Cinder runs at the ball, her robotic foot falls off. In Cinderella, her shoe falls off.
And now for our celebrity of the week. We have Asia from grade 7 from Bloor Lee Middle School.
Hello.
So we're going to ask her some questions about the book. So the first question is, if you had to replace a part of your body with a cyborg part, which would it be?
I think a cyborg hand would be so cool. Two totally random talents of envied are spinning coins over my fingers and breaking egg single-handedly. A cyborg hand would probably accomplish both those things.
In your opinion, what does it mean to be a human?
I think being yourself is most important. In Cinder's case, she was not human due to her abilities, which is completely wrong. She deserves to be treated like a normal person. You don't need to show your emotions to feel them. We are all different, and that's what's important.
Thank you, Asia.
I'm eating cake during the party. You're welcome.
Now for the last question. What is your favorite book?
My favorite book is definitely Cinder.
My favorite book is Keeper of the Lost Cities.
My favorite book is The Selection.
I'd like to thank you guys for listening to this week's podcast on Cinder by New York's best-time selling author, Marissa Mayer. Make sure you listen to next week's podcast, which has been requested by very much of you, on The Selection by Kira Cass. Bye-bye, and make sure you listen to next week's podcast.